Good morning, Green Valley. It's great to see all of you here this morning. Special hello to all those who are joining us online. We're glad that you're tuning in today, wherever you're tuning in from this morning. We'll invite all of you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we're continuing to go through the Gospel of Luke, and we'll wrap it up next week. And so we're in Luke chapter 12 today. You know, if you've been here for a while, you realize that one of my favorite things, and I bring it out as often as I can, is my favorite compass. And I've taught you a lot of things, and this compass has taught me a lot of things. And one of the things you know about a compass is that it always points north. It's always responding to the magnetic nature of the Earth's makeup. And so it points north. You know, it points north on Sundays. It points north on Mondays. It points north when you're single, when you're married, when you have kids, no kids, when you have a job, when you don't have a job, when you're happy, when you're sad, when things are going your way and they're not going your way. It just keeps pointing north. And so it's simply, you understand that as a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in your life. God lives in you. We talked about last week, he doesn't live in this building. He lives in you. And so as a follower of Jesus Christ, you respond to the nature of your makeup in life. And so every day we're challenged to respond to who God is in our life and his leadership in our life. Well, here's the thing, though. There is something that will make this compass not point north. You know what it is? An outside force. You can take anything and rub it up against this compass, and it starts to spin, and now it's pointing a different direction on Sunday, and a different direction on Wednesday, a different direction in the good days, and a different direction in the bad days. That outside source impacts how it responds. In our life, you know what this is? You know what the outside source in so many lives is today? Worry. Many of you would say, I don't worry, I'm just concerned. But what it is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you know, you're responding to the nature of your makeup today, and then that thing happens, that outside source, that thing that you're worried about comes, and then you're spinning. And you're not responding to who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ. You are responding to that outside force. In just a minute, in Luke chapter 12, we're going to read where Jesus says in verse 22, therefore, do not worry about your life. The word worry in the Greek language means to distract, listen to this, to divide or to draw in different directions. In other words, that compass is pointing north, pointing north, pointing north until that outside force comes in contact with it. And guess what it does? It draws it in a different direction. That is what worry is doing to so many lives today. That you're following Jesus, you're trying to follow Jesus, but then there's that thing. The transition maybe that Todd has talked about. Well, in Luke chapter 22, because I know nobody worries here, this will be very short. In verse 22, Jesus talks about it. He says, then Jesus said to his disciples, isn't it amazing that 2,000 years later, it's just as real today as when he spoke it. He says, then he said this to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Don't be drawn in different directions. Don't be divided. Don't be distracted. What you will eat or what your body or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Verse 24, he says, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Verse 27 says, consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and then these things will be given to you as well. Now, if you're really paying attention, you're going, well, I'm not worried about what I wear, and I'm not worried about what I'm eating, so I don't have a problem with worry. This was not an exhaustive list. What he was simply saying is the affairs of life. And so you could take food and clothing out of it and go, do not worry about retirement. Are your kids getting into college? Or that prodigal child? Or the job? You know, if we were to make a list of things we're worried about today, and we don't have time to do that, and we don't have enough paper anyway, wouldn't it be long? I started this for my own amusement, began to write down this morning the things that we worry about. And then I began to worry about some things I wasn't worried about, because then it came to mind, right? And then you go, I didn't know I was supposed to be worried about that, until you write it down and you think about it. And so Jesus says, whatever the affairs of life are, he says, don't worry about that. Now, that doesn't mean life's going to work out perfectly. It doesn't mean like everything's going to go just the way you want it. What he's doing is simply making this point. Get this, and remember, this is Jesus talking. He says that you can face the uncertainty of life, fill in the blank, whatever you're worried about today. You can face the uncertainty of life, and you don't have to worry. For he tells us in verse 23, he says, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Life is more than, fill in the blank, whatever you're worried about today. And so Jesus is simply, as he addresses this idea of worry, he's trying to pull us out of that area we're obsessed with. The thing that kept you up last night, the thing that woke you up this morning, the thing that you'll take a pill to try to forget about today, the thing that's in every conversation, the thing that's pulling you in a different direction today. Jesus says, that's it. That life doesn't equal that. And it's interesting, he goes about how he does this. He says, therefore, do not worry about your life. And then he tells us, because this is what we want to hear, well, then how do I not worry? He says, very simply, he says, you got to change the way you think. You got to change your mindset. Matter of fact, one of the things we talk about here a lot is that you need perspective. Perspective is when you see something over here, you read something, you hear something, you experience something, and it changes how you see this over here, the thing you're worried about. And so what Jesus does, he says, listen, you don't start with what you're worried about. He said, let me start over here and give you some perspective. So look at what he does in verse 24 and verse 27. You got that in your Bible? Look at the word consider. In verse 24, he says consider. Verse 27, it's going to read consider. We're going to read it in just a minute. But it means, in the Greek language, it means to put your mind down. It's two words. In other words, you're thinking about something today. He simply says, turn your attention to, be attentive, be careful, observe, put your mind down on this. And so verse 24, he says, the thing you need to think about is this. Consider, put your mind down on this, the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Underline this part, yet God. So you're smart, and you plan, you got a storeroom, you got a barn, you sow and you reap, but it's still yet God. Yet God feeds them, and how much more valuable you are than the birds. He says you got to change the way you think. Then he says in verse 27, consider. He says, think down on this. Put your mind down on this. Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Look at this. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And so he says, listen, I want to show you something over here. I want you to think about something over here, and I want it to change about what, how you think about what you're worried about. What are you worried about over here? You don't start there. He says, you start over here, and you get perspective. Change the way you think. Now, listen, Jesus is not saying, hey, that thing that you're worried about, he didn't say it's not important, did he? Jesus is not unaware of the uncertainties of life that you face. He just says, I'm just telling you, you don't have to face that and worry, and it starts with gaining some perspective. How do you do that? You know, I was at the beach some weeks ago, and I don't know about how you guys see things, but I'm standing there on the beach, and you know what I think about? I think about Job 38. I sent it to my daughter this week. And Job 38 says this, and you think about if you've been at the beach any time. God is speaking to Job, who has a lot to worry about. And he says, Job, who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, he's talking about the ocean. When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, look at this now. I'm telling you, I think about this passage because at 6 o'clock in the morning, I went up and I set my chairs where I wanted them because I didn't want anybody sitting where I wanted to sit. Y'all do that when you go to the beach? You don't go to the beach to rest. You go to beat the other people down there. And every morning, I would go and put my toes on the edge of where that water, and this is what I would say, this far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt. What you worried about over here? The God who said to the waves of the ocean, and I'm terrified of the ocean, it's big, and there's stuff out there. We stayed up high, and I could see sharks. Y'all are swimming in the shark's house. You've been warned. And God says, this is as far as you can come. So God is simply trying to give Job some perspective. Whether it's the ravens, whether it's the flowers, he simply says, I want to expand your view of me. There's an interesting verse in verse 30, if you still got your Bibles open, and he's changing this mindset. This is so good. He says, for the pagan world runs after all such things. What is it? All the things that we think make up life. But look at this and underline this in your Bible. Your Father knows. See, some of you today, you're saying, I understand we got a big God. The thing that you don't understand, we got a Father God. Your concept of God is big. And maybe you're like me and you sin at the ocean and you realize, oh my gosh, God said this is as far as you can come. Maybe you're like me and you look at the stars at night and go, God said, hey, I called each one out by name and not one is missing. Maybe you're like me and every sunrise in verse 12 of Job 38, you remember that God said to Job, have you ever called the sun up in the east? But he says, don't forget, I'm also Dad. Because you may have the perspective over here that God is big enough to handle your stuff over here, but I'm telling you, you'll always worry until you see him as Dad. For it was Jesus that told us when you pray, what did he say? Our Father, and if you just look at it, it's Dad. And what is he doing? He's changing our perspective. He said, I don't want you to just have a view of a big God that can take care of the ravens and the flowers. Oh my goodness. But Father God. And so when you think about that thing that you're worried about, you know what he's saying? Dad's got that. You gotta write that down. On your worry list, on your post-it note, just write, Dad's got this. Dad's got this. Dad's in charge. Dad's always on time. Dad's got this. And so I challenge you to change your mindset about God. You say, how do I do that? Because our mindset is focused on what we're worried about. How do I change my mindset? I think there's several different ways. What we're doing right now, you just look at the Word of God. I've said my whole life, as I've done this thing, there's two things you need. You need an accurate picture of God as he reveals himself in Scripture, because very few people have that. And you need an accurate picture of yourself as Scripture speaks about you. We have a God who's big. We have a God who's Dad. We have a God that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. We have a God that loves you so much he sent his son Jesus Christ for you. He says, you're the apple of his eye. You're my kid. And so you go to the Word of God and you begin to see your life from his perspective. And you begin to see him as he has revealed himself. Another thing you need to do is not only you look in the Word of God, but one of the things you want to do to change your perspective, we've just done it. Worship and prayer. If this is the only time you worship and pray, I can tell you why you're worried. Worship and prayer, you know what those two things are? They are moments that we start not with us, but with Him. We turn all of our attention, and it's not, you're worthy of worship. It's not about you, it's about Him. And when you pray, when did Jesus say, when you pray, how do you pray? Start with Dad. I don't know if your stuff is going to change, but you will be changed because you know who you're talking to. And so you got to have that perspective to be still and listen through worship. Through the study of His Word. I'm going to tell you another thing is this. As you gain perspective throughout what we call here, through community. Everybody needs somebody going to slap them upside the head. You say, is that what y'all do in small groups? In a very nice, loving way. But you got to have somebody that gets you back from the edge. Most of you, and I do it too, live life like I preach. Y'all know I've been having a problem standing on the edge for 31 years. And y'all know I've been doing better. I had to take off a month to get over it. But this is how we live right here. I preach like this forever. And I told y'all about a month ago, I'm going to step back. And so every once in a while, I look at some of you and some of you are going, I know I need to. I got four or five people to judge me and talk to me after. They're like, well, you didn't do very good today. You're on the edge. But you got to have those people in your life. Just like I got some of you, when I get out here close to the edge, you kind of give me that eye. You got to have those people in your life going, hey, bro, you're too close to the edge. You need to back up. When you can't worship and you can't pray, you don't think, and you're not in God's Word, they are there to give you some perspective. Our Savior says you got to change the way you think. But He also says this in verse 31. We love this passage. He says, verse 31, He says, but seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. You know that calm and peace come, what He's telling us, from seeking God first. That He must be first in reality and not just in talk. We can talk about we love God, we love Jesus, but in reality, is He your priority in every decision you make? Is He your standard? Is He your final word? Because I think one of the things we've done is we've minimalized worry. We kind of joke about worry. People say, "What's this? My spiritual gift?" It's like, I'm not worried. I'm just concerned. But did you catch what He said in verse 30? He says, "If that's the way you live your life, not responding to the nature of the makeup that you have as a follower of Jesus Christ, but you're being influenced by this outward force called worried, and you're being distracted, divided, and pulled in a different direction." He says, "That's what the pagans do." I don't know if we need to take it that far, but He says, you're not acting like one of my kids. You're acting like people that don't know me. You're acting like people that don't understand, don't have any perspective of how big I am. You're acting like somebody doesn't know me as Dad. And what Jesus is telling us is that the only way we can live in peace is to have God's priorities. Y'all know this is true because there have been moments in your life things hadn't gone great, have they? I'm going to think about that moment for just a minute. And some of those moments, you've had perfect peace, haven't you? Now, some of them, you've been on the edge. But can you think back to that moment when, man, things were not going the way you wanted, they were not going the way you thought, you were caught off guard, but in the midst of that, you had perfect peace. That proves the point. Because in that moment also, you're going, listen, I don't understand it all. I can't see where this is headed. But Dad's got this. That's what He's telling us. Now listen, can I be honest with you for a minute? If today you're not seeking Him and He's not the priority of your life, and he's not the final decision and the standard for your decision, you have every reason to worry. Because as we've said numerous times here, every person in this building is on a path. And every path has a destination. And if you are choosing paths in your life not according to his word, you're not going to like the destination. But so today's the day just to back up and go, I got to have a new standard. And so Jesus says, hey, change the way you think, change your mindset, be obedient and seek me. And then third, I think the thing that we learn from this is at some point along the way, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to decide, I'm just going to trust God. Period. I'm going to trust God. Period. Not, I'm going to trust God when I can see the end. I'm not going to trust God when I kind of have this all in my understanding. I'm going to trust God, period. Period. Proverbs 3 puts it this way, and I love this verse, and you know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all, what does all mean? Yes. All means all. All your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. You know what that means? Dad's got this. You say, how's it going to end? I don't know. Dad's got this. The issue is not the end of the path. The issue is all. It's an understanding that Dad has a plan, and Dad's always on time. You know, you look back over the story of God's story in Scripture. If you were living in so much of Scripture, wouldn't you have been worried? I'm like, this is a mess. This is a disaster. But see, we have the privilege of having perspective and looking back over thousands of years and going, wow, Dad, he had it all along. But when you're in the midst of it, at sometimes, in some points, you just got to go, I trust God, period. So let me ask you, what is that outside force for you? Is it worry? We just sang a song just a minute ago that it was sung over you as a prayer. I speak Jesus. And it says, I speak Jesus over your fear. I speak Jesus over your addiction. I speak Jesus over your worry. I don't know what it is in your life that has come in contact with you, that's pulling you in a different direction. But today I challenge you to speak Jesus over it. And simply tell him today, Dad, I trust you. Period. Not I just trust you, but I trust you, period. I trust you when I can't see the end. I trust you when I don't know how you're going to work this out. I trust you when I'm on the edge. I trust you when I've stepped back. I speak Jesus over that outside force.